Coming up on Roundabout, a Massachusetts man returns his lemon to the dealer and causes quite a stir. Is Ford's rough-and-tumble Raptor pickup causing trouble? Find out shortly. And we have another exhilarating installment of Versus coming your way. Who's pro? Who's con? Who cares? All this moist, succulent goodness and much, much more coming up only on Roundabout. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase. And by Tire Rack. Follow the link on our website to save up to $80.
In Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross from autobytel.com.
From Roundabout Towers in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Stephen J. Ewing from Autoblog.
I'm Jeff Gilbert from WWJ News Radio 950 in Detroit.
I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And yep, it's me, Ben. I'm your producer.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 90, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
No, you're not hearing things. I really am back in the Motor City from my harrowing adventure in Montana last week.
We missed you.
Craig, we're glad you made it. I was out there for the Mercedes M-Class. That's why I couldn't make episode 89, as it were. But, Steven, you and Michelle did a bang-up job.
Bang-up job, indeed.
Yes. The show was done. It was certainly finished. So... good job. The hat I'm not wearing is off to both of you.
Oh,
and Michelle posthumously, since she's not here.
Do you wear hats?
I
much?
Do. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I do. I have been known to wear headgear on occasion. Not as frequently as Jefferson Ross, who you can clearly see in the chat room right now wearing his bright orange Tesla hat.
I think it's red.
Well, whatever color.
Fix your color correction on your webcam. Post-haste.
Thank you. But enough about me. Joining us in studio today is a titan of the airwaves, none other than Mr. Jeff Gilbert from WWJ News Radio 950, which is our local Columbia Broadcasting System affiliate here in Detroit. Jeff, we're glad to have you back.
Yep, and we titans don't wear hats.
No?
Makes us look dorky. Of course, I look dorky without a hat.
But so the check must have cleared. You came
what
back.
What check was that?
The bribery.
Oh, that check. Yeah, it cleared. It cleared somewhere. Certainly cleared my house.
But we're glad to have you back.
And I'm glad to be had.
You made the long journey all the way from Northville to be
all
here.
All the way from Northville, that's right.
A scant 2.3 miles, I think it is. Approximately. Well, I'm only estimating.
About
in fact,
that.
I just made that up.
Yeah, I think it's about right.
Let's get started, shall we?
We have Northville very well represented here.
Very
today.
Well represented here. I would have Skyped it, except they're cleaning my carpets today. So I had two entertainment choices tonight, watching my carpets dry and Roundabout.
You picked the wrong one.
Okay.
Watching the carpet dry will not leave you emotionally drained.
In
take
this
it
will?
From me. Yeah. Oh, no. You have no. You don't remember?
I don't remember.
It has been a
maybe
while.
Maybe I blanked it out. Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
That whiskey we put in your coffee last time. Mm. So, should we get started, guys? We got a wonderful show planned.
Why not? I've got carpets to get back.
Exactly. The carpets aren't going to dry themselves.
No, yes, they are, as a matter of fact, but that's beside the point.
Look on the bright side, Jeff. You had a perfect opportunity to drive that beautiful Jaguar convertible.
Yep, XKR. Beautiful vehicle. Mm-hmm. I've driven it the 2.3 miles and looking forward to driving it many more.
And at least 2.3
more. At least
more.
2.3 more. Maybe it'll get a little cooler and a little less rain.
Huh? Yeah, we've had some quite hot weather this week. And that's a good car for the weather, I guess. I don't know. I digress.
Yes.
Moving on to the stories. First up, I will present this one. According to the website UPI.com, a man from Salisbury, Massachusetts, my favorite cut of steak, has been charged with 6 counts of felony mischief. Yes, that is a real charge, and yes, it's a full half dozen. How did he get in such deep fecal? Well, turns out he purchased a used minivan from a dealership in New Hampshire. But soon after acquiring the whip, problems surfaced, not the least of which was a broken odometer. That doesn't sound like fraud. After an inspection of the vehicle, his mechanic recommended he return the miniature van, but no shock here, the dealership said, you're stuck with it. That didn't stop him from taking it back, though. He delivered it around midnight and in the process took out 6 other cars on the lot. None of the vehicles he hit cost less than $20,000. I wonder if he's going to get store credit for taking it back. Hmm.
Likely not, I would say.
No, probably not. Anyway, while we've been dealing with heat here in the Midwest, it's a different kind of plague in Russia and Australia. New South Wales, which was having fires when I visited there 2 years ago, is now facing horrible rains. Anybody have an arc? They've had 171 millimeters of rain this month. In American, that's 7 inches. And like Californians, people in Sydney don't know how to deal with it when it's raining. They've had at least 80 rain-related crashes. But it's better there than it is in Russia. At least the water in Australia knows where to go when it stops raining. In the Russian city of Pskov, I think that's how it's pronounced, not Pskov, the Stalin-era sewers couldn't handle a 20-minute shower. That caused heavy flooding and a lot of problems. And the police were probably busy taking bribes, so they couldn't help
you. Well, you mentioned you were in Australia.
I was in Australia. I was in Russia.
Right. Where did you visit?
We visited in Australia. We visited Sydney and that part of the country, mm-hmm. Melbourne, as they say there, Melbourne. And went on to New Zealand. And in Russia, we visited Moscow and St. Petersburg and got to fly lovely Aeroflot.
Appreciate
Delta.
You got like a Tupolev. Or something.
Yes, as a matter of fact, yeah, it kind of reminded me of those 727s that I flew when I was a kid.
And they didn't have overhead bins, they just had a shelf with like barbed wire.
They had overhead bins, but they didn't fit my bag, so they said, stack it over there.
Stack it.
Honest.
Nice. Were you there during the Soviet days?
No, just a couple of years ago during the Russian days. And okay. I was a little concerned when I heard I was going to fly Aeroflot, but I looked it up online mm-hmm. and. They have all new airplanes now. And once again, I learned, don't believe everything you read on the internet.
That's right.
But I got there a lot.
But what were you doing in Russia?
What was I doing in Russia? Well, while I was on the plane, I was praying. But my wife went to a conference. I was joining her. So okay. I had a good time seeing the sights while she did work.
So thumbs up or thumbs down?
To Russia?
Yes.
I would say thumb sideways. Okay. A lot of good history. But you still got a lot of corruption, a lot of other issues there,
okay.
too.
Very nice. So Jefferson Ross.
See the subways if you go to Moscow.
Oh,
beautiful.
I heard about those. Yep. Yeah. Jeffro, I believe you are next.
Well, who knew that launching a 6,000-pound truck over off-road jumps and sand dunes at highway speeds can have consequential results, even on Ford's street-legal trophy truck, the F-150 Raptor? While there are no shortage of videos online showing the Raptor catching air, there have been recent reports of the truck's frame being damaged. Autoblog's Chris Pocker talked with SVT's chief nameplate engineer, who indicated that there are a handful of the reports of the bent frames nationwide. He thinks that some of the trucks are traveling too fast for conditions, and the bent frames are better than the alternative, which he calls a donkey kick, which is when the rear end of the truck goes high into the air. Usually they call them endos, I think. The lesson here, whether you're in a Porsche 911 on the track or a Raptor out in the desert, know what the hell you're doing. And as always,
don't be a douche.
I saw this article on the Automotive Weblog, and I was a little concerned when I first read it because, you know, the Raptor's supposed to be this awesome, mm-hmm. just beast off-road, which it is. But I was surprised to see the picture you guys had of the truck, like, bent in the
That was on some of the forums.
Yeah.
There was that one famous one. I think Tanner Faust took one like 30 feet in the air and like nose planted it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the videos on Autoblog, they're estimating the speed's well over 80 miles an hour. And, you know, at some point, even, you know, race cars have damage. So,
well, exactly. And plus, some of the folks they were in the forums that had the damaged vehicles were modifying them. They took the speed limiter off with like a computer chip and then suspension.
Redone springs in the back.
Yeah. So Ford's fault or not Ford's fault?
I would say not Ford's fault.
I would say not Ford's fault as well.
Yeah, I would imagine this voids your warranty.
I would hope so.
I believe this is what we like to call a user error.
Well, I mean, it's just like if you take, you know, a race car on a track, as soon as you take it on the track, your warranty isn't going to be valid.
Mm-hmm. Or if you had the GTR and you use the launch control system.
Right.
It's made for off-roading.
On the transmission, because I get the transmission, they were having problems with it anyway, and then they just, if they found out if you use the feature, they just...
Did you use the feature when you had the
press
car?
I never had it.
I had the press car, but I didn't dare use the feature.
Yeah.
As Dirty Harry says, a good man's got to know his limitations.
So.
Anyway. And I pay my own insurance.
Ooh. Well, anyway, Mercedes-Benz's latest crop of AMG cars may feature their latest and greatest 5.5-liter twin-turbocharged V8, but for the smaller upcoming SLK 55 AMG Roadster, the Silver Arrow has decided to switch things up a bit. Even in removing the pair of turbochargers, this engine will still produce 415 horsepower and 398 pound-feet of torque, which is plenty for the SLK. And by using cylinder deactivation, the engine will return a 30% increase in fuel economy for the svelte little AMG Roadster.
9 MPGs now?
Probably. Yeah.
So cylinder deactivation, this is an overhead cam V8.
Mm-hmm.
How'd they achieve that?
I'm not a mechanic or an engineer.
They went into it, but it was a very boring press release.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was learning about it, reading about it, and just sort of went, what else is there to do?
Play Angry Birds, right?
Oh, look, I have a splinter to remove.
I can't stress that enough. I do not play Angry Birds.
Plants versus Zombie.
You know what that noise means.
Do we?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, you've come to the right place, Jeff Gilbert, because that is our roundabout non sequitur.
Very good. I thought the whole show was a non sequitur.
Well, Woe to the poorest of the world's wealthy. Those lounging masses of disadvantaged country club folk will never be able to spend like one Middle Eastern sheik. According to Emirates 24/7 News, a gentleman in the UAE is taking conspicuous spending to new heights. Space. Among his possession, he lays claim to the world's most expensive car, which is a customized Bugatti that features a porcelain caviar tray of all things. He also owns a globe-shaped motorhome that's said to be one-millionth the size of the Earth, as well as a private island, which, in fact, has his name gouged into the very surface of the Earth. And here's the kicker. You can read Hamad, his name, from space. And if you don't believe me, Google Bing or even Baidu it. Look for the island Al-Fastaisi. I think that's how you say it. And you can see for yourself. I guess if you've got money, flaunt it and make the rest of us hate you at the same time.
That's a roundabout non sequitur.
Too bad he wrote his name upside down.
Yeah, they didn't have a map, I guess. So there you go.
But I can tell you one thing he doesn't have.
Oh.
The Colonel Sanders Chicken Mobile. I chose this story because this fascinated me. Yeah.
And you like breading, right?
And I like breading and I like chicken, but we won't go there. Anyway, here's a vehicle that would make even the Aztec look inviting. It's a Colonel Sanders Mobile. And I had to say this. It's a true chick magnet. Anyway, it looks special and probably smells even better. And we're told that it's anatomically correct right down to the red plumage. And I'm not going any further than that. Biscuits and gravy not included. It was discovered by Autoholics.com. And the only people who may be interested in this will be at Alcoholics Anonymous.
Because it is some presumably 70s-era car.
I would imagine.
Giant head, chicken head on top, and the appropriate plumage.
And the appropriate plumage. It always has to have the appropriate plumage.
Well, yeah.
Is that an Oldsmobile?
I couldn't tell. I thought I could read, like, Park Avenue or 898 on the back fender there, but I have no idea, honestly. It's very close to your shirt color.
Very close. Well, you have my shirt color is kind of a chicken yellow, as a matter of fact. So it would attract attention. I would imagine they made deliveries with it somewhere.
This would be the perfect car to have done to me. Quick story. So when I was in high school, I owned, as we talked about on the show last week, my 92 Mitsubishi Eclipse, my favorite car I've ever owned. I loved that
car.
More
than the Civic, the CRX, pardon me.
Not more than the CRX. Okay, second favorite car I've ever owned. And it was about 2 weeks after I got the car, and a couple of friends of mine in the middle of the night came over and peeped the car, as in they stuck marshmallow peeps all over the outside of the car.
Never heard of this before.
Mm-hmm. Stuck right on. So I woke up in the morning and there's
sugary mess everywhere.
Marshmallow peeps all over the car, and I'm pulling them off, and there's all these like sugary residue and stuff all over the car. And I couldn't get some of them off because they had just, like, hardened onto the car.
So I let it sit out in the sun. It really sticks.
So I took it to the car wash. And I didn't just go to the hand car wash. I was like, nah, I'm going to make these guys use the power hoses and blast them off. As I'm pulling into the car wash, all of the attendants just start laughing. And I roll down my window, and the one guy just comes over and says, I have to know what happens. I'm like, just get out the power hose, please.
You were a victim.
But they were all the little ducks or the little chickens. Mm-hmm. And they ducks. Were the chickens.
And they did this and just ducks. Disappeared into the night?
Apparently.
So bandits. It was a drive-by peeping?
It was a drive-by peeping, indeed.
That's not very nice.
I'm glad I didn't have to scrape that mess off. But, yes. Jefferson Ross, I think you're up next.
Well, is there any better example of distracted driving than a game show on wheels? Ironically, and possibly unrelated to distracted driving, the taxi used for the Canadian version of the show recently struck, the Canadian show Cash Cab, recently struck and killed a 61-year-old pedestrian as he was crossing the street in Vancouver. While there aren't many details about the July 16th accident, the pedestrian was struck while in the crosswalk by the Toyota Sienna used by the show's cat.
Meow.
I don't know what's wrong with me tonight.
His what? His cat?
He was struck by the Toyota Sienna, but it wasn't driven by the show's host. It was driven by the show's producer. So, there weren't really many details given on the site about it.
But. Well, they're innocent until proven guilty, right? Or is it the other way around in Canada?
It's Canada.
Who knows?
It's maple
syrup
and gravy.
Do they even have
rule
of law there? I don't.
I believe they're innocent until the third goal is scored. Okay.
Well, that would suck to be mowed down by a bright yellow Toyota Sienna van.
Well, like I said, the story was actually on Jalopnik, and then I followed it to another site, and it doesn't say if the guy was legally in the crosswalk or if he had the right of way or if the van
or if
had the right of way.
He passed out in the middle of a highway.
Yeah, you never know.
You never do know. Huh.
Always trust what you hear on the internet.
That's always. What I say.
Always fact check with Wikipedia.
The most trusted name in news, right?
Yes.
Well, the Mercury brand may be bound to the history books these days, but that doesn't mean its cars aren't finding new life in Florida, of course. One such owner decided to spruce up his 2002 Cougar by adding heaps of fiberglass and other composites bound to a steel tube frame, transforming its appearance from that of an odd-looking Mercury coupe to that of a Bugatti Veyron. Sadly, the Cougar's ancient 2.5-liter V6 with 170 horsepower can't hold a candle to the Veyron's 1,000-horsepower 16-cylinder quad-turbo engine.
Ancient? That's a little harsh, don't you think?
But I bet you don't have to fill it up every...
Well, it was an old
miles.
Engine in the first place.
Yeah. Well, Jim Hall actually hates that engine.
I hate that car.
Well, there you go. Because it's
the
physically
Cougar,
the same size
not
as
the Veyron.
The Cougar. Oh.
What? What's that, Jeff?
The Cougar.
The Cougar. Where's the Michelle noise for that?
He didn't have that queued up.
We don't have that
stall
queued up.
Stall for time. Ben.
We've got this one.
Okie dokie.
Or this one.
Oh.
Should we email this guy who has his email address plastered all over the picture?
Sure. We'll put you in charge of that, Jeff. You can investigate this article for us.
You suck.
Okay.
That's nice. But not as nice as our next story. An Amish teen from Western New York State is in trouble with the law for leading police on a chase. No, he didn't swipe the keys to his parents' Volvo that they don't own and tear off down the interstate at triple-digit speeds. Nope, he was fleeing the local constabulary in a horse-drawn buggy. Sad. It's very sad. Adding insult to injury, or perhaps in this case, assault to battery, Jalopnik reports the 17-year-old was intoxicated. He's been saddled with a raft of charges, including resisting arrest, unlawful possession of an alcoholic beverage with intent to consume, and I'm not sure what the intent is if he were already drunk, insufficient tail lamps, and littering on the highway, just for good measure. Remember, if you're tipping back a few adult beverages, never get behind the reins.
Yeah.
Is that a hint of sarcasm, Jeffro?
I was just appreciating your humor, Craig. We missed it last week.
I'm sure you all missed me very, very much. But Mr. Gilbert, They say speed kills.
They do. And I wrote it right here. Thank you for reading my first line.
trampling on your quote.
They say speed kills. Funny, I heard that somewhere before. But it also causes a lot of arguments in the UK. The people at Telco Cars, who obviously had a lot of time on their hands, did a study. And they found that speeding tops a list of carguments. I never heard that expression before. Mm. Last week, we learned about Carmageddon in Los Angeles. Now we have carguments. Anyway, speeding followed closely by tailgating. But the good news is any argument sounds better with a British accent. For example, would you mind slowing down before you ram our car up the exhaust pipe of that Bentley? See, doesn't that sound much better than maybe, say, on the New Jersey Turnpike? Slow the damn car down! So it's all culture.
Exactly. Well, it's a very polite argument, isn't it?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Slow it down, you're also tailgating. That would not be a
Chauncey,
good thing.
Mind the pedestrian.
If you wouldn't mind.
There goes another one.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens.
Yes, yes.
Oh. Ruined the hood ornament.
Common as muck. Jeffro.
Well, let's see if I can do one without screwing it up. Well, thanks to a technology being developed by Toyota, Ben Sanders may be one step closer to becoming a car guy.
Oh, yeah.
In what may or may not be an April Fool's Day prank, Toyota's new Window to the World technology appears to be an interactive screen overlaying a regular passenger window in a car. Well, there is no explanation as to how the technology actually works, but according to a video on cars.com, it allows passengers to perform various tasks like identifying objects such as sheep, magnifying images of sheep in real time, or simply doodling pictures of sheep onto the window. In other news, now would be a great time to invest in Windex stock.
Are you saying Ben has an unhealthy addiction
to sheep?
No. If you guys watch the video, they show a lot of sheep and a lot of activities with sheep. So
what activity? They're shearing, and that's about all I can think of. What else?
Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you Google activities with sheep and just see what happens?
Nope.
I'm not saying those kind of activities. I'm just saying they had a lot of sheep in the video.
Hmm. Well, they're a valuable source of a precious natural commodity.
Well,
exactly.
Well, summertime means kicking back and relaxing in the pool. And while we love water noodles and inner tubes, the automotive enthusiast in us wouldn't mind something car-related while cooling off. It's called a water noodle.
It sounds absolutely absurd.
It's called a water noodle. Okay. Anyway, Access Agency has taken on this challenge, creating a set of rafts in the shape of Mini Cooper convertibles. These inflatables are still merely concepts for now, but if produced, we'd expect the addition of a cup holder or two to kick back with our favorite cold beverage. Would that count as drinking and driving, though?
I don't know. Would these be grossly overpriced?
More than like, oh!
Well, no, just gross.
Well, maybe not grossly overpriced. Those would be the Porsche design inner tubes. Yes.
What? Would you kick back in a Mini Cooper convertible inflatable?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What beverage would you put in the upholder?
Chocolate milk.
Honestly, knowing me, probably a Pabst. Oh. A nice cold PBR.
It's a value-conscious beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think they're ripping off that idea we talked about probably a month ago with the 9/11 owner who had his car turned into an inflatable raft.
He got that air bladder or something, apparently protected it from the flood. We don't know if it actually worked or if his angry neighbor shot it with a rifle and deflated it or something.
My Lexus drowned. Yours must too.
So, yeah, that is the news portion. Good hustle, team. Good hustle. But now you know what that sound means. It's time to take a brief commercial.
Aww.
And up next, we'll teach you how to beat the sweltering summer heat with a handy automotive tip from Japan. We'll pit a Ford Focus against a jet of high-pressure water just for the fun of it. And the Roab crew faces off in another heated automotive-themed debate in our Versus segment. So stick around for all this goodness and more. But right now, have I got a deal for you? Yes.
I don't know. Have you?
You've never heard this before, Stephen? Well, gosh almighty, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I am too.
If you visit our website, and feel free to do this right now, roundaboutshow.com, you'll see a lovely little ad off to the side. I believe it's in the right sidebar of the page, for our good friends at Advance Auto Parts. Jeff, Gilbert, have you been there before?
No.
Well, they are a great source for auto parts if you're doing any repair work for your car. They also have all kinds of accessories available. So if you wanted to, let's say you wanted to get some of that chrome, those little ding strips you can put on the edge of the
door. Do they have duct tape?
I'm sure they do.
Okay.
All kinds of other fixins at the Advanced Auto Parts. But you click on the link, and it takes you to a webpage where you can get an exclusive offer that is only, that's why I said exclusive, only available through roundaboutshow.com.
Thank you for that definition.
We have a very exclusive, very special offer available to only our Roundabout listeners. If you spend $30 with Advanced Auto Parts, you can save $10. If you hit $50 or more, take $20 off that bill. $100, you can save $30. That's a lot of savings, Craig.
That's a lot of savings.
As I believe Jeff Ross would say.
I'm about to find out how well this system works.
Well, I've used it. I bought a timing belt kit for my car. Just got to throw that on there, but saved a bunch of money on that, and I highly recommend that all of our listeners help support Advanced Auto Parts.
And, you know, this is not even a, like, use-it-once kind of deal, because my dad has used it twice.
Oh, my goodness.
In the space of, I don't know, 3 weeks, and it's quite a good deal.
It's cheaper than a new vehicle, that's for sure.
Indeed.
Indeed.
And I mean, if there's automotive supplies you need to get it up past that limit to save that extra amount of dough, you know, like he bought some coolant so he could get it up to a certain amount, save even more, do it.
Absolutely. Again, that is save $10 on an order of $30 or more, take 20 off 50 or 30 off 100. And it's very important that you go through our website, roundaboutshow.com, and click on the button in the sidebar. Otherwise, you will not be able to get those savings.
Nobody told me there was going to be math tonight.
I'm sorry, subtraction can be such a challenging subject. But yes, we thank our friends at Audible and Advance Auto Parts for their support of Roundabout. And even if you're not in the market for any parts right now, click on the link just to show them, hey, we care.
I care.
Exactly. I care, Morty. So, next up, it is time for another edition of Stupid Car Trick, and don't forget to bring a towel.
Go on, boy. Go get it. Come on now.
So, we like to highlight the idiocy of some of our fellow motorists, and this week we don't have anyone being blatantly stupid, but we have a pretty funny video. There were some more rains, oddly enough, this time striking in Montreal, I believe, and we've got this lovely little video on, what is it, Ben, Street Fire?
From streetfire.net, in fact.
Okay, well.
They always have wacky videos.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the one with the guy putting his face in front of the exhaust? Anyway, so a guy has a Ford Focus sedan, first generation, parked, you know, along the street. It's raining out. And he parked it over top of a manhole cover. And due to the torrential downpour they apparently had in Montreal, the water was geysering out through the manhole enough to force the car, the back end of the car, looks like 6 or 8 feet in the air. This is not just a little stream of water, but I thought it was pretty remarkable. I didn't know that it happened like that, that sewers would just disgorge their contents randomly.
Can you imagine if the sewers in Detroit did that?
I've seen it happen.
Oh, gosh.
I wasn't the sewers, but there was a water main break for people from this area on I-96, and this thing flooded and cars were floating away.
Oh, dear.
It doesn't take much to float a car.
No?
Nope, I could see it. They were rescuing people from the tops of their cars floating down 96.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, if this wasn't actually like sporadic water coming out of the hole, it would have looked like a water main break. But that would have been, like, constant water.
This is honestly more impressive than Old Faithful.
It's pretty impressive when you just start watching the video, and it just gets better and better. I mean, the back end of the car just hops higher and higher and higher, and until the force of the sewer starts, like, ripping, like, the trim off the back of the car. So this is a pretty good one. You got to click the link on this one. It's worth a look.
Now, where can folks find that link, Ben?
Let me think. Roundaboutshow.com, perhaps?
I'm not familiar, but it sounds trustworthy.
I would say so.
I'd go there. Don't be afraid, Jeff. You know, it's a good site, from what I've been told.
And just, I've been told, believe everything you see on the internet.
Exactly. You got it. If it's on the internet, it must be true.
Must be.
Yep. So now it is time for us to share a few helpful life hints. It's time for Tip of the Week. Mm. And it is done.
My macaroni and cheese.
And what have we got here, Ben? It's hot. It's summertime. The folks in Japan have concocted a clever way of keeping your car cool.
In fact, they do, with a wacky Japanese video.
Aren't they all wacky? I mean,
well, that's true.
The definition of Japan, is it not?
I believe.
I'm not so sure about that.
So, it's summer, like I mentioned. You got your car parked. The windows are up. We all know what happens. It gets kind of hot. You go out to your car from shopping. You get in there and you roast. It's like an oven.
So how do you cool it down?
I don't know. Rolling down the windows just takes too long.
Leave some ice in there.
So you have dampness.
Leave it in a cooler.
No. What do you do?
Researchers
what
in Japan.
What do you do?
That's a good sound drop if I didn't interrupt him.
Mark it.
So the researchers in Japan, who must have been studying this for decades, have determined that you can actually use your car door as a quasi-bellows to pump the hot air out.
Do tell.
Yes. So the process appears to be fairly straightforward. You go out to your car, you unlock it, you roll a window down, let's say the passenger side window, and then you start opening and closing the driver's side door, which is going to create this airflow through the vehicle and supposedly help vent the heat. From the cabin.
I can think of other uses for that as well. Like if you have a friend in the car who may not have showered before, or have been eating Mexican food, any number of uses. This is a practical tip.
It is. Could be a lifesaver.
Here's what you have to consider, though. Imagine that you're doing this in a parking lot of a grocery store to cool down your car, and everyone else suddenly just stops and starts looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what they're thinking.
They're thinking,
why didn't I think of that? Because my interior is so hot, and that guy is going to be so comfortable in his car when he gets in.
He's going to have ambient air in there, and that is so relaxing. Especially if it's 100 degrees with 100% humidity.
He's not going to sweat nearly as much as I am.
Although he's exerting a lot more energy to get that interior temperature down.
Which is, oddly enough, it's sucking the air through the open window on the opposite side of the car and venting it right in your face, basically, as you're pumping the door. So,
the best part of the video is, I think it's the 2:23 mark. They zoom in on the guy's wrist to show you proper positioning of your hand so as to not get injured.
Well, I commonly injure myself while opening car doors.
But doing it like that, you could. Slam the car into your face.
Repetitive stress injury. But the car, the demonstrator they're using has the older style flipper door handles, you know. Mm. I wish they would have showed this with the pull style that a lot of modern cars have.
I wish they would show it with the
ergonomic situation.
The Corvette or Cadillac CTS coupe.
That's what I was going to say. I have a CTSV coupe in the driveway right now, and I wouldn't know how to do this rapidly because...
Without breaking your finger?
You couldn't do it fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently this only works on certain cars.
Mm-hmm.
Or what if you had does this work for like an SLS AMG with gullwing doors?
Oh, goodness.
You would take off then.
Just start flying.
Wow, who thought of this and why is all I can say.
Or think about it with a Continental, 64 Continental. You could do two doors at once.
Oh, man.
Like
butterfly presses.
Or a Rolls Phantom, something like that.
Butterfly presses.
Well, think about it. You're just pulling back.
And that's Detroit Iron, too.
You
could
do it with the cute little barn doors on a Mini Clubman.
Oh, they sure are cute.
What about a Chevy Astro with the Dutch doors? No.
Or the Ford Excursion.
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
See, look, the possibilities are limitless.
Endless.
If you've got a vehicle, you could practically try this out, unless it's a Gullwing, of course. But now you know.
What about a Lamborghini? How would you do it on a scissor? Sorry.
We're done. Cut his mic. That's me. Sorry.
That's your job, Ben. So, yes, that is our tip of the week. Use it wisely. And now it is the moment I'm quite sure you have all been waiting for.
I believe you have.
The climax of the show,
The show's over?
Just before.
Oh, yeah.
Jed. Oh, touche. Mr. Gilbert. Wow.
Soon enough.
He is on fire enough. Tonight. He brought it. I'm not sure what it is, but he's got
it.
It.
Let's bottle it.
Yes.
Penicillin will take care of it.
Nature's condom.
Inappropriate. So, versus. This is the segment where we pit roundabouters, one roundabouter against another. The other two judge the performance in the debate.
Don't judge me.
Yeah, I was always taught not to judge other people.
Yes. So, as we explained to you before the show started, Mr. Gilbert, one person is a pro, the other is a con. They debate the merits of three separate vehicles. You have to take your side, regardless of the vehicles that are picked randomly from Ben's supercomputer.
Like you're a lawyer. Like you're hired to defend this car.
Or even if you know it murdered.
Exactly.
Yes.
You're what was her name? Kaylee Anthony? No.
I was going to go there, but I
thought it was wrong. No.
Yeah. Anyway.
That could be a segment. If Casey Anthony was a car, what would she be?
What would she drive?
Toyota Camry.
They don't kill enough babies, though. That's the problem. Anyway. Too soon. So, yes. This is our debate segment.
Slow white Bronco. Oh, no. That was another car. Your photo got off. Okay.
So, we have to pick some names, Ben.
All right, do we? We have a very technical way of doing this.
Very scientific.
From a hat.
It's a real live hat.
That's right.
Is it a Trilby?
So I'll pull out a piece of paper that says one.
That's the person's name.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll pull out a piece of paper that says two.
Which is their assignment.
Right.
So
what will you be? A pro, a con, a judge, or a judge? We'll find out. Number one is Stephen Jamal Ewing. I think we got that middle name right. What is Stephen going
almost.
To be? Almost. Close enough.
Almost.
Probably pro again.
He's going to be a judge.
Oh!
You get to judge people.
You don't
this
get
time.
To listen to me argue.
He's pretty vehement at that. Well, thank you.
Another one here. All right, here's another one. Jefferson Rossbot 2000. Sound effects come standard. He's going to be a protagonist.
Oh.
All right.
I'm so positive.
Who's next?
Open the room.
Got to go in order. One, two, one.
Here's
two.
Another number one. Joffrey Gilbert, premium broadcaster.
That is a joke. We'll explain
premium?
Later.
What is Jeff going to be? A con artist.
Ooh.
Of course, that means I am a judge again.
Jeff versus Jeffrey.
Oh.
Exactly. All right, we'll do away with all these.
Jeff Gilbert is con.
I thought we were a paperless society, Ben.
No, we're
anymore.
Old school.
Okay.
We do it old school. Craig is a judge as well. All right, so we have our assignments. Let's just recap. Stephen J. Ewing, you are a judge.
I'm really good at judging people.
We can tell. Certainly not good at debating. Jefferson, as we found out last week, Jefferson Rossbot 2000, you are the pro this week. You ready? Are you psyched?
Let's do it. I'm doing it.
All right, very good. Mr. Gilbert, our honorary guest tonight.
Yes.
You're con.
I am. I would have sworn you
con
was 16.
Parney.
Oh, no, I'm not con, you mean. Okay.
Whoa. Yeah.
I think he'll want to be taking that back now. Yeah.
And, of course, I am a judge for the third consecutive time.
Yes, you're on.
Funny how that always works out.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
It's so, random. It's random.
What does Ben get to be?
Ben is the officiator and our timer.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I probably should.
Telephone.
Yeah.
Apple.
I prefer prosecuting attorney to con.
Why is the music still going?
It's just a nice background. No? No?
I thought it was having an aneurysm.
Better than having a stroke.
All right. So you guys ready? Ready for round one?
I was born ready. All right. Yeah. What's
our
vehicle?
Our round one vehicle is the 2012 Audi A6. Go.
Who's going first? You have to determine.
We'll say pro.
All right.
The new Audi A6 is very nice looking. It has an Audi engine. Oh my goodness. I'm not prepared. It is affordable for people with luxury needs.
Bet 1,000 tonight, Jeff.
I think the new Audi is one of the best looking cars in its class. I don't think we get any of the cool engines from Europe, but the V6 in it, I believe, is the supercharged motor. Puts out a good horsepower rating.
15 seconds remain.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. And, yeah, it's a nice car. Sorry, I screwed it up. Sorry, Audi. Oh.
All right.
This was only my second time doing it, so.
Your game show is The Price is Correct.
Yes.
So that is your expertise.
This is the worst. I'm just off tonight, guys.
That's okay.
I know. Of course, he sees this worst pro ever.
Well, you have two rounds to make it up.
Yes, you do. So study fast the vehicles
you
even know that we're doing it.
We don't know, yes. All right. kick my ass, Mr. Gilbert.
Okay.
You are the
All righty.
So we've got the con. Now,
you actually just drove the A6.
I drove the A6, and
you
I must give the disclaimer, I love the A6, one of my favorite cars. So now,
I've never been in the A6.
Okay. Now
With
we
that,
get
start.
No. Okay. Now I get to put on my prosecutor's hat. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the Audi A6. I drove that car. My cup of coffee did not adequately fit in the cup holder. My hand, as I'm trying to move on to their overly complex, needlessly complex system there, where they put Google Earth and things like that on there. Do you need that distraction while you're driving? And on top of that, I'm trying to use it.
30 seconds remain.
And I keep bumping my wrist, my wounded wrist, into a hot cup of coffee.
Ooh.
How dare they do that? It is typical German engineering, where they're telling us, we Americans, what we should drive, instead of us telling them.
10 seconds remain.
So, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you must convict the Audi A6.
If it doesn't fit.
Which I really loved.
All right.
So, are you Mr. Baez or Mr. Kardashian here?
No, I can't rhyme, so I'm not Mr. Cochran.
All right, Jeff, are you ready for your 15-second rebuttal?
Oh, yes. Man.
All right. On your mark, get set, rebut.
How could I forget about the TDI and the future hybrid version of this car, which are going to make it even better than my non-argument earlier? So, go A6.
With 5 seconds to spare, no
That's
less.
That's a third of his time allotted, FYI.
That's how confident he is, Craig. That's confidence there. All right. Jeff, are you ready with your...
I am ready.
Jeff versus Jeff. I just realized that. We got a Jeff versus
Wilson,
Jeff.
Jefferson Ross mentioned that before we started.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I was busy doing things, apparently. Go.
We haven't had a chance to drive either the diesel, which, of course, diesels, as we all know, are un-American in cars, or the hybrid version of this vehicle. So we must judge it on what we have driven. And I must say, again, the technology just too complicated.
Your time is out.
Too difficult.
Okay. Good rebuttal round.
For a vehicle I loved.
So I think, I don't know about you, Steve, I think Mr. Gilbert really dominated this round. He brought up his personal injury from the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
the fact that the Germans are cramming or cannot design a functional cup holder for the mm-hmm. United States market, and the complicated MMI system.
You know,
how am I supposed to go pro on a car I've never seen in person?
That's the way. That's you can't. Don't hate the player.
How am I supposed to go con on a vehicle I loved?
To be fair, Jefferson, you did have a very compelling argument when you said, "quote." It is very nice looking.
I think you took some major damage on that one.
Oh. You guys don't like it? The way it looks?
I love the way it looks.
I love the way
it's
it
gorgeous.
Looks, too, yeah.
I had one,
Shut
actually. I had one last week right when Mr. Gilbert did, and I think it's a fantastic car. I think it looks absolutely stunning.
See, this should be my shout-out right now to the Audi who... whoever controls their press fleet, get some Audis to me so I can do better on roundaboutshow.com's versus.
Yes. Well, speaking of doing better, you got a second chance, Jeff.
All right.
To make
Hope
a good first impression. What is our next vehicle?
Well, now we will start with Con.
Yes.
Jeff. Jeff okay. Ross, you have a little extra time to study up on this one, so I suggest you do it.
As in 1 minute.
Let's go.
I have put handy links into the rundown, by the way. So, round two is the 2012 Mercedes-Benz S-Class, and Jeff Gilbert
Are you ready for round two?
You mean the vehicle that I just gave 5 stars to in my review today?
Yeah.
Today?
And you have
just
to.
Just this very day.
You
so
have
I have to trash this vehicle.
Trash. Huh?
Is this funny how this is working out?
It is funny. Okay, we're ready?
We are.
Another German vehicle trying to cram luxury down the throats of Americans. Rich wood, rich leather. Is that something that Americans really want, that we the people really want? The smell of leather in a vehicle like that, somebody could be allergic. Somebody could become ill. The space in the vehicle like that, you could lose a child in the inside of that vehicle. It's so big. The smooth running engine of the Mercedes S-Class, that's the kind of thing that it just makes you feel sick when you accelerate so smoothly and go, you can get something caught in the back of your throat. So a vehicle like that is a menace to society. See, S-Class, society works there. It should be banned from the streets of the United States.
There you go.
Order. There will be order.
Hey, you guys.
If I had $106,000, I'd buy one tomorrow.
Which one did you have?
Yes, 550.
Does it matter?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Ross.
Here we go with round two. What good things do you have to say about the 2012 Mercedes-Benz S-Class? Go.
It looks very nice. No, the S-Class is about the closest thing to a driverless car that you'll need these days, because people should be in the back seat or the passenger seat, thanks to the split view monitor in the front that allows the passenger to watch a DVD. It is, let's see, it comes in many different flavors, including the AMG and the hybrid version, another hybrid here.
30 seconds remain.
The back seat, you could lose a kid, but you could also lose an adult. So if you have those annoying in-laws, put them back there and, you know, turn on the massaging seats if it has it, because
15 seconds remain.
Well, yeah, okay. Massaging front seats and back seats and a lot of money. Great car.
All right. That is the second argument of round two, and I've got to turn. Oh, we got to go to our rebuttal.
This is the rebuttal round.
Yeah, we're up to rebuttals. I'm jumping the gun here.
So, Jeff, it's time for you to rebut.
I'll make it.
Rebut away.
I only have one thing to say. You look at a movie, you watch a movie about the Russian mafia, what do they drive? Mercedes S-Class. I'm done.
Wow. Wow.
Mm.
That was strong.
The gauntlet.
Jeff, I hope you can rebut away.
That's the old mafia. The new guys drive G-Wagons. That's my rebuttal.
Okay.
It's not a very big rebuttal. I cannot
lie. I'm trying to stand up for the S-Class. Yeah. And if I give them a G-Wagon, let them sink their teeth into that.
All right. Very good second round, gentlemen. But now I am forced to turn to my fellow judge, Mr. Ewing, at the end of the table. Thoughts on round two?
I have to say, saying that a vehicle should be banned from the streets of the United States is a very, very strong argument to back up, but I believe that Mr. Gilbert did it well.
He very compelling argument.
I have an S-Class on schedule for next week, and now I don't want it. Yes, I do. I do.
What particularly struck me about his argument was he played the patriotic card here. He hinted at that in round one, but he really brought it home in the second round here. Came out guns ablaze and Second Amendment flag waving, which I thought was interesting. But I did question his one argument that there was too much space in the S-Class, because we are a very large country in the United States here, very large people as well. But we have open space. The car should match our nation, should it not? That's my question.
You make a very good point there, but unfortunately, in the case of the S-Class, the space is improperly used inside the car when Americans are an outdoor people, and the space should better be used outside the car, ipso facto, too big.
So they should make an S-Class pickup truck.
Obviously.
Absolutely. You've made my argument for me.
Yep.
Ouch!
S-Class pickup. I like the sound of that.
They'll sell 100,000 a year, even at 80 grand.
They do. They call it the G-Wagon.
All right. Are we ready for round number three? Last and final round.
Last and final round.
The Department of the Redundancy Bureau called. I believe they were trying to get a hold of me.
I believe so.
What is it, Ben?
So, we'll start with Jeff Ross on this one. So I hope he's ready.
Give me something good. Give me something good. Yeah. Big money.
Jeep Wrangler.
I don't have high hopes for you, Jeff. Because round three is the 2012 Nissan Murano Cross Cabriolet. Oh. Go ahead.
Is he conceding?
That means
I'm trying to do my best.
He's taking my approach when I had to argue con on the 1M.
That's the Ewing defense.
Well, Americans love their openness, Mr. Gilbert. So what better way to get open than a convertible? Americans love their SUVs and crossovers, Mr. Gilbert. What better vehicle than the Murano Cross Cabriolet? Americans love the Cross Cabriolet. Yes.
30 seconds remain.
I'm done.
All right, he's taking an early out here. So we're gonna reset the clock, Ben. Gonna put a minute on there, and it will be Mr. Gilbert's turn to shoot his arguments down.
All right.
Now go.
I believe my fellow Jeffrey there in deciding to personally attack me, and while I have a slight tear in my eye with this, I can respond because the Nissan Cross Cabriolet is a vehicle I haven't driven. And I've had to wait all summer for this vehicle. And a convertible that they would not give to me early in the summer to get a review written about in prime summer driving time, there must be something wrong with it.
30 seconds from me.
If they have not given it to me early enough, that must mean they're expecting a poor review. So, you know, you got to look into the mentality of PR people. This is how they spin us.
15 seconds
from me. So there must be something wrong with a vehicle that I've never driven. I've only seen it at auto shows. So I can tell right now that this is not a good vehicle, and it's not a good vehicle for my family and my country. I rest.
So before we enter the rebuttal round, I have one quick question for Mr. Gilbert. North American Car Truck of the Year winner.
What about it?
The Murano, does it have a chance?
I haven't driven it. So I'm saying probably not. Since I haven't driven it yet, it must not be a good car.
So it must not. It won't win then.
Must not. Mm-hmm. Won't win unless I happen to drive it and love it.
Which probably...
Which, I don't know.
Rebuttals!
Here we go with the rebuttal round.
Mr. Ross.
And Jeff Ross, let's see if you can do better than just using half your time the first time around. Here we go.
If Mr. Gilbert thinks his sense of entitlement to driving the Murano Cabriolet determines if this vehicle is worthy or not, I say nay. This vehicle is, in fact, worthy. Vote yes on Cabriolet.
Well done, well done. Well, no. Actually, no, we're tainting the results. Sorry. I mean, all right, that was it.
Mr. Gilbert.
All right.
Counselor Gilbert.
Counselor Gilbert.
Yes. 15. Obviously, you can tell my passion has inspired his passion. So that means his passion is misdirected, and therefore that argument must be negated. I rest my case.
Would that be your dispassion, since you are the con?
Yes. No. Passion about negative things is still passion. It's neither dispassion nor dad passion. It's passion.
Okay.
Pure and simple.
All right. Fair enough. So I have to confer with my fellow judge.
Well, what did you think about this round first?
First of all, before anyone does any voting.
Okay.
Jeff's holding up money.
That's a $2 bill specifically.
It sure is.
You don't see a whole lot of them. What are you saying, Jeff? Just showing it off?
No, I'm trying to persuade you guys.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know.
Craig, it is as blatant as I thought.
He's got a $2 bill we could have.
He's balling. We'd have to split it, though.
That's fine.
That's
I also have a penguin on a pencil.
Can I have your degree?
No answer.
I don't know.
Penguin says, the penguin says no. So.
Well, you asked about the third round, Ben.
Yeah, what'd you guys think?
Jeff had a very, Jeff Ross, had a very weak start. His first round argument, I thought, just was a disaster. But
see, I thought he brought up some very valid points, which was that Americans love convertibles and Americans love crossovers.
They love crossovers. I'll
the
give
crossover
you that.
Is a type of vehicle that only really does well in America. It's not.
It's the openness issue again. We have space here. We're not the Ginza Strip of Tokyo.
This is true. So where else could a vehicle like the Murano Cross Cabriolet exist, even though it shouldn't exist? If it has to exist, where else would it exist?
Australia?
No, America.
No, they put a pickup bed on the back in Australia.
Yeah, exactly, and called a ute. And it'd be rear-wheel drive.
And it would be awesome,
and
right?
It would be awesome.
But like I was saying, I thought Jeff Ross had a poor showing, but he came back in his rebuttal round, which he used.
By stealing my passion.
Yes, he sucked.
I don't steal anything.
And he
you
came
passion
back.
Passion sucker.
He was attacking entitlement.
I don't suck anything.
Well, fair enough.
We digress. Yes.
But he came back, and I lost my train of thought. But,
dealt some heavy
damage.
There'll
be one coming down the track shortly.
Well, he attacked the entitlement. Yes. Yes. He
that's
went up. Is that what it sounds like when you attack it? Mm. All right.
Absolutely.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So I think Stephen J. Ewing and myself have a few things to discuss here.
I believe so.
In private or in chambers?
No, I think we can do this out in the open. I think that'll be okay.
All right. So first round, 2012 Audi A6. Who did you award that to?
I had to give that one to Mr. Gilbert.
Okay. As did I. Now, to be fair, he had just driven the car.
And honestly, I must admit, I didn't want to say this early because I didn't want to influence anything.
Taint the voting.
I also spilled coffee on myself in the A6.
Ooh.
So I can relate to his experience.
Well, he has a scar to prove it.
I don't
have
a scar,
which he showed us, don't take your trousers
off.
But.
It was traumatic and horrifying. And
are you guys going to sue Audi and McDonald's now?
No.
Probably
so
not.
We both awarded round one to our guest of honor tonight, Mr. Jeff Gilbert, WWJ, News Radio 950.
Thank you.
All right. Round two, 2012 Mercedes-Benz S-Class. Now, this is a vehicle that really hasn't received any updates in a couple of years, has it? Not that I'm aware of. But it's still a very nice luxury flagship.
It got a slight refresh for, 9 or 2010, where it got the LED front fascia. And then for 2012, it actually gets a diesel engine.
Okay. So no major changes.
No.
Still a solid
It's still
vehicle.
An old vehicle.
Yeah. For an older clientele. Mm-hmm. Right? But who did you award this round to?
I also awarded this one to Mr. Gilbert.
Okay. All right. Why? What tipped the scale in his favor?
It was just that he had such a strong argument for why the S-Class is a terrible vehicle and why no one needs it and why it's awful and horrendous. Because I have to admit, every
even
time,
though I absolutely loved it,
exactly, even though it's a fantastic car, much like an Audi A8 or a BMW 7 Series, which are also wonderful, amazing vehicles. Every time I get out of one, I can't help but look at it and go, "Why would you ever need this? What would you ever need this whole thing for?"
He made another good point, which I as an allergy sufferer, you never know what chemicals are out there that could affect your sinuses. And that naturally tanned, semi-aniline leather, you know, you don't know.
I don't think I want to get leather in a car again.
You've concerned me, to say the least. It's cloth all the way. Burlap, in fact, if I can get it.
Oh, vinyl's good, too.
Is it extra toxic?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I also award. Sorry, Jeff Ross, I also awarded this one to Mr. Gilbert. So.
He's busy playing with a screwdriver or something.
No, it's a mouse.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case.
Well, we do have a winner, but we have one more round to discuss. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this.
The Murano Cross Cab.
Yeah. Any
personally, I have to give this one to Jeff Ross because simply he tried to talk up something that's frankly awful.
The indefensible.
Yeah, yep. He defended the indefensible, and I have to give him major credit for that. And like I said, I kind of agree with his argument that, you know, when you spin it around, if a vehicle like the Murano Crosscab was ever going to exist in the world, America's the place to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said earlier, he really came in fighting in that rebuttal round. He wasted his minute, basically. But then your argument, Mr. Gilbert, just fired him up, got his dander standing up, and he came back fighting. So I think the judges have unanimously decided now that it is two rounds for Mr. Gilbert, one for Mr. Ross, the winner this week, Jeff Gilbert.
Winner!
Still haven't figured out why we have 8-bit video game sound effects, but hey.
Can we just be fair and say that Jeff won tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
Jeff won tonight.
Jeff won.
Yes.
Yay!
Winner!
But Jeff also lost tonight.
Oh.
You hit the spikes. Try again.
Or lava. Well, whatever. You know what, gentlemen? I think we have a show this evening in the can, provided Ben remembered to record it.
Oh, crap!
Yes. So, Jefferson Ross of
Auto
Bytel now. Yeah. What's going on the Bytel?
Just living the dream.
Oh, you
driving a CTS-V right now.
Oh, nice.
I'm actually trying to figure out, I've driven the 300C, the Charger RT, and the Challenger SRT8, and I'm trying to do some cool LX overview of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my excitement.
Yeah, you get to work for the lovely Ms. Naranjo.
Yes. Roab's own Ms. Motormouth.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. So we thank you for your continued support and tough loss
in
the
versus
segment. I'm sorry.
I never get German car, so you know, I'm at a disadvantage right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. Well, brush up on the German, maybe, and we'll be more generous.
Yeah. We'll
Who
see.
Knows? Stephen J. Ewing.
That's me.
Our local autoblog affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's going on? Driving your long-term Equus.
Driving our long-term Hyundai Equus right now, which is on the verge of hitting 11,000 miles.
It's old man.
Yeah, she's aging very nicely, though. So getting some time in the Equus again, writing another update about it for next week. Got a couple reviews coming. The Audi A6 is one. Mm-hmm. And then next week I will be reviewing the Mercedes-Benz S-Class diesel, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So very other nice. Than that, things are calm.
The Autoblog's an exciting place. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie.
Always going.
Always. Feed the monster, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. And last but not least, our guest of honor tonight, Mr. Jeff Gilbert, from our local CBS affiliate, WWJ News Radio 950, on the AM dial. You can also find his stuff on, what, cbsdetroit.com?
Yep, and you can like Car Chronicles on Facebook as well. We'll have all of my stuff there also. And I am looking out the through the slats in the Venetian blind, mm-hmm. seeing sunshine, getting ready to mm-hmm. take down the top on that Jag that I'm driving
exactly
right now.
That's exactly what I'd be doing if I were you.
And next week, we get to cover the start of UAW Big 3 Auto ooh. Talks. Can we get a big ooh?
It's going to be so, any predictions busy. For the negotiations?
Yep, they will have a contract at some point. Okay. They always do.
Yeah, all right.
Mr.
All right,
Gilbert.
Like safe, yep.
Are you guys on iHeartRadio by chance?
Oh, that would be our competition. We are radio.com is our app.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
So
put in a plug for a really evil broadcaster, but that's okay.
I haven't listened to WWJ since I left Detroit, and I just realized that the internet allows me to listen to radio from vast expanses of the universe.
Yeah, seriously, you can listen to us at cbsdetroit.com. That's a direct link. And there is an app for iPhones, iPads called radio.com, which has been newly updated and has all of the CBS stations on it, as well as a lot of other internet radio choices.
Very nice. So again, CBSDetroit.com and Car Chronicles.
Oh, plus you're on YouTube, right?
And I'm on YouTube as Jeff Gilbert WWJ.
Yeah. Very nice. I mean, in fact, that S-Class video that you posted today
is on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
And also on Twitter as Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-E-R-Y, Gilbert. So we're trying social media and even trying Google Plus.
Whoa, already?
Already.
You got an invite?
I got an invite. Wow. I could invite
He's
you.
He's a mover and a shaker, so Ben. You don't question me, that.
But I haven't done, any hangouts yet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jeff Gilbert, thank you so much for joining us again, putting up with us once more. Last but not least, before we sign off, I got to thank Mr. Ben Sanders, production side of things.
Okay. Good enough for me.
Thank you. Remember, you can watch Roundabout live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 3:30 on the West Coast. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline Detroit, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily. Good stuff. If you've got a question or comment you need addressed with the Roundabout crew here, give us a call on our ROAB hotline. The number you can reach us at, our Google Voice account, is 1-559-ROAB. That's R-O-A-B. 411. In numbers, that is 1-559-762-2411. Give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you. We are also on the, well, if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and frankly, who doesn't, you can subscribe to Roundabout on either iTunes or the Zune Marketplace. You know, it's a good source of quality podcasts.
You can't help laughing.
Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again.
Can you get it on 8-track too?
Yeah. We use wax cylinders actually. Okay. Publish.
If you send us a self-addressed stamped envelope
with an old toilet paper tube, we will dunk that in paraffin and
bow. Isn't it true that more people are using 8-tracks than Zunes?
Probably. Okay. Ouch. So anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then.
Autoblog's Chris Puckert was talked...
There's at least one of these great Jeff Ross moments in every show.
I'm trying to read ahead so I can make contact with my camera. But I can't do that. I'm not a good public speaker.
I'm just trying to make contact with a mothership.
There's no explanation as to how the technology actually works, but according to a video on cars.com, it allows passengers to perform various tasks such as identifying objects like sheep, magnifying images of sheep in real time.
Why don't you just pause? The train went ahead and ruined it for you.
So why don't you take it from there as no explanation?
That's what I was going to do. That was a great little Jeff. Starting
I'm
point.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, we're on the same wave right now. What do they call that when you're on the swing set and you're both going the same?
You're on my party line.
You're actually bringing back memories for
me. Oh, dear.
There was a radio show called Party Line in Pittsburgh.
Was there?
One of the first talk shows. Wow. They didn't take calls on the air. The one guy it was a husband and wife team, and he'd take calls while she was talking. You'd hear him in the background going, mm-hmm, 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 and he'd relay what the caller said.
Nice. That's a great filter.
Yeah.
Wow.